Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're stepping into a slightly different source stack. We're looking at excerpts from The Butterfly Who Loved Math.
Yeah, sounds maybe like a children's story on the surface.
It does. But we found it's actually surprisingly insightful. It gives us really clear, actionable blueprint for thinking about expertise, leadership, and, well, community contribution.
Exactly. That's pretty much our mission today, to dig into how this simple narrative offers these, you know, profound lessons. Lessons about specialized knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about complex math theory, not at all. It's more like a structural look at why developing one unique skill, really honing it, can make you indispensable when things get tough for the group.
Right, like with Beatrix, the main character.
Precisely. We're tracking Beatrix, how her sort of proactive investment in math turned her from this garden outlier into, well, a vital leader.
Okay, let's unpack that investment. So Beatrix lives in Sunnyvale Garden. Sounds nice.
Lovely place, yeah.
Yeah. But the source immediately sets her apart. It says the other butterflies just fluttered aimlessly. Beatrix, though. She liked math more than mango nectar.
Mango nectar.
I know. And she's practicing equations in the dirt with a stick.
And what's really crucial there, I think, is how proactive she was. She wasn't waiting for a test. She was setting her own metrics, you know.
Before anyone even asked her to.
Right. The source gives that great example, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Calculating her own wing flaps.
Yeah. If I flap my wings 3 times every second, how many flaps? In a minute. She's applying basic arithmetic to her own existence.
It's like setting KPIs for being a butterfly.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Mm. But it's more than just curiosity, isn't it? It feels like the real core of building a specialized skill. You don't wait for an assignment. You build your own internal database of know-how.
You're honing this skill even when there's no obvious immediate reward. She
yeah.
was working on something pretty non-traditional for a butterfly.
Well, everyone else was aimlessly fluttering.
Exactly. And that focus, that insulation, is what prepared her. But, you know, a specialized skill, its real value, often doesn't show up until there's a problem only it can solve.
A gap opens up.
The structural gap, yeah. Which brings us, actually quite suddenly in this story, to the main conflict.
The Great Garden Games.
Mm-hmm.
This scenario, it just instantly highlights the cost of everyone being a generalist when you actually need specific planning. Logistics?
Well, absolutely. The community's got all this energy, this enthusiasm for the games, right?
Yeah, they're excited.
But it immediately falls into chaos. Why? Because of really basic numerical mistakes.
It's like a perfect little model of organizational breakdown, isn't it? Just because of poor resource management and a lack of applied math skills.
Yeah, applied math literacy, really. The source gives these examples that are, well, they're freely relatable and frankly kind of funny failures.
Okay, like the ladybugs. They couldn't figure out how many relay teams they needed. That's a basic workforce planning issue, a division problem.
Totally. And then you've got the ants. They forget how to divide the pie fairly. And pie is, let's be honest, a critical resource.
Always critical.
And my personal favorite, the ultimate symbol of, like, inventory management collapse.
The caterpillars.
Yes. The caterpillars couldn't count their own sock.
Their own socks. It's, yeah. If you can't manage your personal sock inventory, how are you managing a big event?
Exactly. And the thing is, these weren't complex problems. Counting, division, allocation, basic stuff.
But insurmountable for them.
Right, because the community had maybe prioritized that aimless fluttering over, you know, practical organizational skills.
Okay, so this is Beatrix's moment. She arrives.
Mm-hmm. With a sparkle in her eye, the text says.
And she doesn't have some fancy gadget. She's got a leaf calculator. I think that detail's worth digging into. Why the leaf calculator?
Oh, I think it's a brilliant metaphor. It's about accessibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
And trust.
How so?
Well, Beatrix shows that applied knowledge doesn't need complicated tech.
Mm-hmm.
The solution needs to be transparent, understandable to the users.
And a leaf is natural. It's there. It fits the garden environment.
It's trustworthy. In a situation where everyone's already stressed and confused, she offers this low-tech, high-expertise solution that builds credibility instantly.
Right. It's fast, simple, visible.
Exactly. And crucially, she didn't just solve the problems. She taught them how to do it. She transferred the knowledge.
She giggles and clever rhymes.
Yeah. Which shows she wasn't being condescending. She met them where they were, made it engaging.
That does raise an interesting point, though. For that kind of rapid knowledge transfer, is the method, the rhymes, the fun, actually more important than just giving the answer?
In this context, I'd argue yes, probably. She's not just solving a logistical problem. She's teaching a cultural lesson at the same time.
That math can be accessible and fun.
Exactly. If you're teaching something potentially dry, like, say, resource allocation or division, mm-hmm. if it isn't memorable and creative, maybe even fun, it just doesn't stick.
She made arithmetic stickier than mango nectar.
Huh. Well put. Yeah.
Okay, let's pivot then to the actual practical knowledge she shared, the specifics. This is where you really see the value of her specialization in action, from theory to actual output.
Tangible results. She solved real immediate problems.
And she explained the solution so clearly. Take the ants and the pie problem, resource allocation 101.
She distilled that whole process, fair division among stakeholders, into just two lines. So memorable.
That famous rhyme. It's just perfect for clear metrics, equitable distribution.
Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah. 12 pies, 6 bugs, let's divide.
2 slices each and none to hide.
It's brilliant. It's like a masterclass in transparent metrics. The whole lesson, applied arithmetic, fair division, all right there. Every ant can check the math. You can't argue.
No debate needed. And beyond the pie, you see her applying this skill set everywhere.
Right. The relay teams for the ladybugs. That's workforce structuring, basically. Logistics. Fairness.
Yeah. And measuring the leaf jumping distances that take spatial reasoning, consistent measurement.
And even estimating materials, calculating the petals for the finish line.
Hmm. What I find really fascinating here is how the source just dismantles this idea of math being some abstract thing only for, you know, academics.
It totally reframes it. Math, in Beatrix's world, solves everyday organizational issues.
Team structure, resource distribution even.
Sock inventory.
Her specialized knowledge made the invisible logic of the garden suddenly visible and manageable.
Okay, so we've established her skill solved the immediate crisis. The garden games were saved.
Right.
But the story doesn't just end there, like she was a consultant who finished the job. Her intervention really changed the culture in Sunnyvale. Let's focus on that lasting lesson, the community impact.
Yeah, this is where Beatrix goes from just being a hero to being a real leader, I think.
Yeah.
The first lesson is social, and it's important. The text really validates pursuing knowledge that might seem unique or even weird.
Okay, it's okay to be different.
Exactly. Beatrix didn't conform to the aimless fluttering, and the story celebrates being smart, loving what you love, even if your peers don't get it yet.
But hang on, lots of people love unique things. Why did Beatrix's specific love for math change the community? What was the trigger for that cultural shift? The others fluttering aimlessly didn't change anything.
That's a great question. I think the mechanism was demonstrable ROI, return on investment.
Ah.
Her knowledge wasn't just interesting trivia, it was necessary. She fixed their core logistical failures. She brought order and joy back to the games.
So that single high-stakes success.
It completely transformed how the community saw her skill. Math went from being Beatrice's weird hobby to being the coolest thing in Sunnyvale.
That elevation from oddity to aspiration, that's the sign of real influence, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that influence then led to something more permanent. Institutional change.
Right, the lasting impact.
Which is maybe the most profound lesson here. Beatrix opens the Flutterfly Math Club, the first butterfly ever to do so.
She didn't just save one event, she built an infrastructure for ongoing knowledge transfer.
Exactly. She institutionalized her specialty, solidifying the idea that your unique talents, if you apply them to real community need, can make a difference way beyond just one crisis.
So, stepping back from Sunnyvale, what does this deep dive into a math-loving butterfly tell you, the listener, about your own skills?
Well, the summary seems clear, doesn't it? Knowledge is powerful, but it's most valuable when it's synthesized, applied effectively, and crucially transferred to others.
Beatrix new division, sure.
But her leadership really shone when she packaged that knowledge, made it fun, transparent, used that leaf calculator. She created a solution for a collective problem.
So our final takeaway for you listening is really about the importance of developing that specialized skill, even if it feels niche, even if it feels totally different from what everyone else around you is doing.
Beatrix's success wasn't just knowing math. It was being the only one who could apply it when it really mattered, when everyone else was stuck.
That exclusivity in application, that's the engine for leadership, for cultural change. So maybe something to think about. If Beatrix's leaf calculator and her love for division brought clarity and order and joy to Sunnyvale in their moment of chaos, what unique skill, what specialized knowledge do you have right now? What knowledge is just sitting there waiting for its own garden games crisis, waiting for that moment where it can solve a real problem? That's the difference, isn't it? Between just collecting knowledge and actually leveraging your expertise.